Do you think golf's a sport?
What's that?
Do you think golf's a sport?
In its own way.
That's not the answer. Yes or no question.
I mean, yes. I think you have to be physically skilled.
I just wanted to know if you thought it was a sport. That's it. Next. What are we doing next? We're doing a close.
Yeah, I assume that you do not think golf is a sport.
We had a huge debate last night over this. Huge debate. So.
And where are you on what line? What side of the aisle are you on?
I'm leaning towards it being more of a hobby than a sport. It's what athletes usually do when they retire. But I admire the professional golfers. I think they're amazing and they do things I could never do in a million years. But is it a sport? I don't know. To be able to play at the highest level, I don't know.
Well, there goes our chance for ever getting a golf mom on this podcast.
For getting Tiger Woods' mom. So.
No, way to go, because I had that lined up for next week. Thanks a lot.
Darn it. Well, that's out. So.
Welcome to Your Mom.
Your Mom Podcast.
Your Mom's Podcast.
This isn't any podcast. This is your mother's podcast.
My mom's podcast.
Nah, dude, she's your mom.
With Ashley Addison and Lisa McCaffrey.
Your mom is a podcast.
Shut up, dude.
We are back and better than ever. I don't know. That's
well, speak for yourself.
Yeah.
You've been in Vegas 2 weeks without kids.
Let's start over again. We're here. We're here.
We're still moms and we're here.
We're still moms and we're here. We're showing up.
Your mom
up.
Is still doing a podcast.
Just what moms do. Oh, I'm Ashley Addison. I am finally back home after 2 weeks away. I have been an absentee mother. I was in Vegas for work for two weeks. And ironically, yes, I do a podcast about raising successful children. And thankfully, I have Lisa McCaffrey, who is with me, who has actually done that.
Ashley, wait. She was in Vegas for work with the Pac-12, not stripping.
Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up.
Not like she takes 2 weeks off and goes to Vegas and is like a bottle server. Nope. She was there following the Pac-12 championship games.
There's a rap song that you'll know that I can't think of right now about like
in love with the stripper.
No, the one where she strips because like to feed her family.
Oh well,
that's not me.
Guess what? Whatever works.
Whatever
works. I want that mom on. I actually want that mom on.
Yeah, I'll find it. I can't think of the song right now, but it'll come to me by the end of this podcast. Okay, but I want to, let me introduce you because everyone now knows that I'm a stripper.
Part-time stripper and full-time podcaster. No.
Lisa McCaffrey, who has 4 boys who currently coach or play football. And we always start by saying, most notably, Christian McCaffrey, who plays for the 49ers. And I think I've been realizing, that's not that cool to your other 3 amazing, accomplished boys because they're all notable in their own right. So I'm going to start mixing it up. And today, I will say Lisa McCaffrey, mom of 4 boys, most notably Max McCaffrey, your oldest.
Firstborn, yep.
Firstborn, yep. Who just got hired as an offensive analyst at the Miami Dolphins.
Go Fins. Fins up.
It's huge. Do you think Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins front office know that you have a podcast?
They do after this episode. No, not more important. Do you think they know I grew up in Miami and that was my team growing up? Do you think Mike McDaniel knows that? And if he doesn't.
He should.
I used to go to Miami Dolphin games with my grandmother who loved football. Loved football.
You know, isn't
watching
that cool?
Her watch football and falling in love with it because of her passion for it. For
okay,
real.
I didn't know that. And Gumma, is that Gumma?
Gungai.
Gungai. Okay.
My Gungai.
So
oh, the
think
best.
About yeah. what Gungai is bowl. Probably feeling knowing that her great-grandson is now a coach on that staff. That's really cool.
That is, it is cool. It is
I love
cool.
That.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for Max. It's a huge deal. Yeah. And I do have a friend for him. I actually just got a text before we started recording from one of my dearest friends, Brianna Jackson. Shout out to you, Bree. She's an avid listener of the show.
Love
She's
it.
Phenomenal.
Hi, Bree.
She told me that Max is going to be working with one of our best friends from good old Mullen High School, Chandler Henley, who's the assistant quarterback coach. So
Chandler.
So he went to Yale. He's a great guy, amazing family, a lot of good. There's a lot of good Colorado blood on that staff.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And Mike McDaniels himself. Yes. Chandler sounds like a super smart guy, probably too smart for Max.
Yeah. Max will keep up. Just tell Max that he won't have to eat lunch by himself. You don't have
Yay,
to worry about
that. He'll have a friend.
Yeah,
okay, good.
He'll have at least one friend.
We'll I just don't want anyone to bully him. Just don't bully him out there.
That's no, really what That's really what motherhood is just like getting friends for your kids, right? Like just making sure that they have a friend.
Friends, mates, everything. That's our job. Yes. To hook them up in life. It's all about connections, right?
All about, baby. That's what makes the world go around.
No, but that is a great connection. Thank you. I will absolutely tell him that I'm excited for him to meet him. I'm sure he's met him already.
Yeah. No, you know, I'm sure.
There's already working like an absurd amount of hours a day, but that's okay. That's what you got to do if you want to win a Super Bowl. So
yes. Well, I'm excited for him. And now I'm a fan of the Dolphins.
Can I manifest something right
now? Yes.
Yes. 49er Dolphins Super Bowl. Book it.
Okay. I'm going to write this down.
Get your plane ticket
now. March 15th when we're recording this. Okay.
Yep.
And we're going to put this out. Timestamp it.
Yep. Done.
And we'll put that into the ether. I love it. That would be amazing. Who would you cheer for? Who would you cheer for? I mean,
I'll tell you, we'll talk about that. That's a great question. Gosh, it's a really good question. I love both my kids equally, all of them. You know that. I joke about having a favorite one, and I love all of them equally for their and for themselves in their own way.
The funny thing is, it's become such a running joke, and it's like so public that you rank your kids that every time I'm doing an interview with you or I watch people do an interview with you, it's one of the first questions, like, who's your favorite kid today?
Which is your favorite today? Exactly. Yeah.
And you usually have a good answer.
Yeah, I have three of the four home right now. So right now, Max isn't home. He's working. So right now, Max is my favorite. No, because he's not here.
But before we get to our amazing guest today, and she is amazing, we're going to leave plenty of time for her. But it is, it's not very often, especially on a non-holiday, that you get three of your boys back home.
Yeah. Right. No, it's absolutely crazy. Luke, come here. Here's one. You've never met Luke. This is the baby.
I've never met Luke. Sweet baby angel Luke. Sweet baby angel Luke. Oh, Luke.
Hey, Luke, sit on my lap like her son will come in every now and then and just sit on your lap. Come on, in color.
Okay. Luke, what do you think about your mom's podcast?
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Luke plays a receiver at Rice. He's in the business school now. And his strength and conditioning coach's wife that's a huge listener. And I got to meet her and she's amazing. I love her. So we have a big following at Rice University, all the coaches' wives that listen.
I love Mike Bloomgren. I met him when he was at Stanford. He's the best. Your head coach. He's amazing. And I can't believe this is the first time we've met. I think I've now met two of your sons on this podcast. So
on Zoom. Yeah.
Reason of starting this podcast is coming to fruition. I'm just trying to meet all your sons.
Right. And I just want to eventually get to the point where you put Collins on and I just color with him and there's our podcast. Bam. And you can go out to the bars and do your little stripping routines and stuff. And Collins and I just color. She was just in Vegas for 2 weeks, Luke. Sorry.
Luke, do not listen to a word your mother says. Oh man. What a great bonus appearance. We're going to have to get him on the podcast soon.
Like he's amazing. He's riveting.
And ask him about the time that you left him at a birthday party when he was 2 years old.
Do you remember that, Luke?
Yeah.
he had great cake and candy.
But it is good to have everybody home, I bet. Like that's.
Yeah, it is actually amazing. I love it. Love, love. As much as I complain and bitch, I do love it. So. Yes.
I will say thank you for taking an hour and a half of your day away.
Oh my gosh.
To hang out with me.
This is like the best part of my day.
So, okay, good. And we did, let's not belabor the point anymore. We had some technical difficulties, but we have an amazing guest today. She's got two incredibly athletic children. One of them, an NFL player. The other one played on the Cameroon national soccer team. Mm-hmm. She was born in Jamaica. Came to the U.S., lived in, on the East Coast, and then has spent the last several decades in Oregon. She's been an early childhood educator for 3.5 decades. And she now lives in Portland. And in addition to volunteering with several organizations, she has apparently gotten really into professional bowling. So that is where we start with Bernadette Sue, mother of Indomican Sue, big time bowler, Bernadette. That's what can you tell us about your bowling career?
Yes, I've been bowling for the last 9 years since I retired from education. I love it. It's every Tuesday. I'm in a league of 36, 37 women, and we just have the best time every week. Last week or 2 weeks ago, actually, my best score was 229. I bowled a 229.
Wow.
My goal.
Ashley can't even count to 229. That's amazing.
Yeah, my goal every week is 300, which would be perfect.
Yeah, that's wow.
But, that's just my goal every week. But I usually bowl about 166, 170. And 2 weeks ago, I hit the jackpot of 229. So my goal right now is to try and beat that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you're going in the right direction. Do you have your own ball and like shoes, and do you have like cool bowling shirts
and matching outfits?
I have my own ball. I have my own bag. I have my own towel. I have my own shirt. I have everything.
And do you have a glove? Like, don't they have like a fingerless gloves that you guys wear?
No, I don't. There's a risk. You can use risk for your wrist. You know, brace for your wrist. To protect your wrist, but I don't use that
you don't need it. Yeah, that's for the wimpy bowlers. That's for the rookies.
I wish I was tough. Everyone tells me they realize why I'm so competitive, because I'm just as competitive as my son. But
I love it.
I know where he got it from. But anyhow, so yeah, I try to do better every week. So my goal continues to be 300 every week, even though I'm far from it.
That's amazing. And are you going, I think you said you're going to nationals coming
right.
up?
Right. I'm going to nationals in May, which is in Las Vegas this year.
Oh, Ashley can tell you all about it. Where to go? Where to lose money.
Yeah. And I can tell you which blackjack table to stay away from for sure.
Wow.
Wow, congratulations. That's a big feat.
I love that, Bernadette.
No, thank you.
I think that is so awesome. Now, are your kids supportive of your bowling passion?
Oh, yes. They love to see me bowl, or knowing that I'm keeping busy and not just sitting at home reading all day, which is something I tried to do too, or started doing right after I retired. I just basically stayed home and read a lot. And I belong to, three different book groups.
Oh, wow.
And I've since dropped out of most of them except for one. I enjoy reading. So
I'm in a book club, but I barely ever make it. Give me a couple books that you love off the top of your head that you've read that you've loved, even recent ones. Ashley, we read.
I love Angela Davis. I finished that. And, Rum Cake is another good one.
Okay.
And Michelle Obama's book,
I haven't read that,
is the new one that just came out that I just started on. It's very interesting, let's put it that way. I'm learning a lot from reading her books. I read the last one that she did, and I really learned a lot. It has a lot to do with family dynamics, and I wish I had had that before my divorce. I would have love to get some of her pointers that she listed in it. The power and Barack got along when he was on the trail for president, and all of the things. He was absent from home quite a bit, so
yeah.
But anyhow, I'm reading her current one, and it's pretty good. I'm enjoying it. So one book club is all.
Since you brought that up, Bernadette, I'd love to just, let's pull on that thread for a second, because I think that what you said is really interesting. It's like, okay, what you wish you had known earlier. So just so I want to make sure that we've got this right. So you were born in Jamaica, right?
Correct. Yes.
You came to the US and you met Michael.
Correct. Yes.
And did you go right to Portland from Jamaica?
No, I lived on the East Coast in Massachusetts, Boston.
Okay.
And I was there for 3 years, graduated from high school there, and then came to Oregon to college and just never left. So,
And why did you come to the U.S. from Jamaica?
My parents lived in Boston. Actually, they lived in England prior to that, because, with the British colony, at one point, Jamaicans just got a stamp on their passport and they could go to England. Well, my parents went to England and were there for quite some time, over 40 years. And then they decided to move to the United States to be a little closer to my aunt, who's my dad's sister. From there, I came to the United States to join them, because when I was born, they left me in Jamaica with my grandparents, my dad's mom and dad. And, just to get a better life. And because in Jamaica, there's not a lot of opportunities at all. And so my dad went to England, mom went along with him and left my brothers and I with my grandparents. And at 15 years old, I joined my parents in Boston. And that was the first time I got to know who my parents were. So at 15, I'm just, you know, meeting my parents for the first time. And actually, I met my dad once before because he came to Jamaica to visit, but not my mom. So I knew my mom when I was 15 years old because my grandparents.
That is fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, I've been planning to write a book.
That like?
Yeah, you need to write a book about that. Do you?
And I mean, that is truly remarkable. Was there, what was it like getting to meet your parents? Truly getting to meet your parents for the first time when you're at one of the most 15. formative.
It was a little hard, but you know, I just went along with it. And you know, I only lived with my parents for 3 years. I finished high school and then left for college. So I was raised by just knowing my mom for 3 years, and that's it, my parents. I just lived with them for 3 years, the last 3 years of high school, because I did a year of high school in Jamaica. It's not unusual, though, for Jamaicans to be left with their grandparents and for their parents to go off to a different country to make a better life for their family. Yeah. So,
did you understand that was, I mean, like, I guess as a kid, you sort of know that happens, but could you kind of process that as a kid?
Yeah. As I got older, I knew that's why I didn't know them until I was 15.
Wow.
So, you know, you just accept that and move on. So, yeah.
Could you have imagined, I mean, now that you've got two incredibly successful kids who have done some amazing things and are still doing a lot of amazing things, I mean, I guess now that you're on the other side of it, could you imagine leaving them?
Oh, gosh, no. That was one of the things I told myself I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't have done while I'm raising them, because you want to bond with your kids. And the opportunity for me was different than my path in life was certainly different than my parents. I was surrounded by a lot of opportunities here in Oregon. So, you know, I was a professional when I had them. I didn't really have a need to, you know, leave them and go off to do anything else other than, you know. So, yes, I couldn't imagine leaving my kids and not bonding with them, because it's so important. I find like as I grew, my parents were like more like friends to me rather than parents, because I really didn't know
naturally
them. I didn't know them, they didn't know me, so all they knew is that I was their daughter, and all I knew is that they were my parents.
That is so fascinating, Burnett. And I think when you look at so let's talk about your kids. So Ndamukong Suh is your son. He played at Nebraska. He was an All-American. He was drafted number 2 overall by the Lions, I think, in 2010.
Correct. Yes.
Uh-huh. He's played in 3 Super Bowls, most recently with the Eagles this past year.
Uh-huh.
And you just look at how decorated he is as a football player. And then Lisa and I were listening to an interview with him that he did with Bloomberg. I think it was a Bloomberg sports podcast. And what he's doing from a business perspective is absolutely amazing to me. And I was, we were both like texting each other.
I love this kid. Yeah.
It's amazing.
He's a kid.
What you see on the field is this ferocious
beast.
Know,
just
really
amazing. You know, defensive player of the year 1 year too. Just an animal, just so good. Oh my gosh. So domineering. And then to hear him talk about business,
he's like
so
friends
different
with Warren Buffett and is thinking about all of these incredible things. I mean, it's so talk to me. Let's start, because he's the oldest, right?
No,
so let's start with
second.
His journey. He's number 2. So your daughter was first.
Yes. Uh-huh. She was first born. He's second born, but he's taken over domineer in the family. Yeah. He's had a lot of good mentors, and he seeks people, you know, he seeks out people who he admires and try to learn from them. And Warren Buffett is one of the people who he's really learned from. Warren Buffett, I understood, came to one of his practice when he was in Nebraska. And so he just made friends, developed a friendship with with Warren after his practice, and have stayed in contact with him all that time. And so he's really learned a lot from Warren Buffett. And I, you know, I can't thank him enough for, you know, mentoring my son and helping him to do, you know, to understand how business, the business world works. So it's been great. It's been great.
It's incredible. I mean, yeah. And he talked about just when you are able to befriend someone who, it wasn't like Ndamukong Suh was going to necessarily do anything for Warren Buffett. And that's what he said on this interview. He said, but he took the time to really pour into me. And for whatever reason, they kind of have created this like beautiful friendship and mentorship. So I think it's amazing. But I wanted to ask you about just the reputation that he has on the field as one of the most ferocious players, right? And then he's in the end, your baby boy who you
he's
know this
is my baby.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. He's my baby.
So what is it like watching him play, and like, how do you square how do you square that in your mind of who he is on the field and who he is off of it?
He's my gentle giant. He's a big kid. I always have been big. He was born at 10 pounds, 3 ounces. So he's been a big boy all his life. You know, when he's on the field, he realizes that's his job, because if he doesn't perform his job well, there will be another player to take his position. And for the fact that he liked the game so much and wants to be a part of it, he goes out on the field to do his very best. And so, you know, a lot of folks who have seen him play think that he's mean and but he's
just
not.
People on the other teams, the people on the opposing teams think he's mean. His own players love him.
And people in general think he's mean. I used to read some of the things that people would say about him on after each game, and you know, I would say to him, you know, this person said this and this person said that. And he says, Mom, stop reading those things that, you know. And I truly came to realize, yes, I need to stop reading them. And I did. I had to stop because.
But and guess what? Those people saying that would love him to be on their team. I promise you. They're just mad that he's not on their team doing what he's doing.
Yeah,
that's why.
But, you know, that's him. He goes out, he's a winner, and he wants to be a winner in every game. I remember him as a small child playing soccer. And if he didn't win the game that they were playing, he would be upset for hours and hours because he couldn't figure out why everybody wasn't given 200%.
Wow.
You know, and so, yeah, when he goes on that football field, he's there to win the game and to give his very best, 200%, and, you know, let the chips fall where they may after that. So, you know, he like I said, he goes out to play and to win.
And he didn't start playing until sophomore year of high school, correct?
Right, that's right. He didn't start playing until his sophomore year in high school. And pretty much.
Because before that, he played a real sport with soccer.
Right, soccer and basketball. Those were his two favorite sports, yeah. And he would come home every day and ask if he could play football because he had such a desire. And the coach saw him walking around at school saying, you know, why isn't this big kid playing football? Why isn't he on the team? And he would come home every day and ask if he could play football. And I said, no, I don't like it because it's too rough. It's too violent. I don't want you to get hurt. And you know, after his freshman year, I said, you know, well, if you can get a 3.0 or better in all your classes, then, you know, I'll let you play. Well, he did, you know, he was well over a 3.0 kid. And so I couldn't say no after that. So anyhow, his sophomore year, he joined the football team, and it's like the world opened. The colleges heard about this kid playing at Grant High School in Portland, Oregon, and we're all coming out to see him, sending letters and so forth. And by his junior year, he had so many handwritten letters from different colleges that it was overwhelming. And by the end of his junior year, my phone kept ringing off the hook, you know, colleges wanting him to come and visit. And then when he took the SATs and the ACTs, scored so well, that even created more calls from different schools. They really, really wanted him. And so, but yeah, you know, that's his thing. He really has gotten drawn a love for the game and really enjoys playing it.
Do you enjoy watching it? Do you enjoy it, or are you too stressed, or are competitive? How do you go deal with watching him play?
Well, you know, I've gotten better. I've gotten a lot better watching him play. It was very nerve-wracking at first, when at the beginning in high school, throughout college, and even in the pros. But I'm a little bit more relaxed now. I've learned to pray more. I've learned to pray and have friends pray for me and pray for him and pray for everyone around him. So yes, I'm a lot more relaxed now because I know that he understands how to protect himself on the field, even though these fluke things happen. So, but yes, I'm a lot more relaxed now. So, and I try to drink my calm before.
Okay. Before. Good. That you're going to say drink something else. So that's good.
No, that's what I was going to say too. I've been trying to get Lisa to drink more. And then
yeah, I know.
Okay. I drink my calm.
Do you have a go-to prayer? Like, can we give, cause I think Lisa needs, you know, even
if it's long, you can write it down and send it to me.
Yeah, like a serenity. Yeah. I'm thinking of like getting
serenity
that,
now.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things PIFMA is good for. We get together every Wednesday night and we pray for our sons. We pray for their coaches. We pray for other moms and Sunday mornings for the East Coast moms. They get together and pray as well. So, you know, pray for the coaches, pray for the moms, pray for all who are involved in dealing with our
stuff. I think we should, now I just joined the group, which I'm going to ask you about in a second, but but we need to start praying for the referees too.
We'll name them specifically.
That they do the best job they can. So, okay, can you tell us what PEFMA
PIFMA.
I'm trying so hard. Sorry. I keep messing it up.
PIFMA. It stands for Professional Football Players Mothers Association. And it's a group that started with four or five moms 25 years ago in Kansas. What they do is recruit moms, other moms that have sons in the NFL.
Yeah, I heard you just landed a big time recruit.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
So I was getting handwritten letters. They were coming to the house.
Yeah.
And they,
you know. Yeah. So this is our 25th year anniversary.
Wow. Thank you. I know. No, what a great idea and a great group. And I'm mad at myself for not joining years ago, but I'm excited I'm in it now. So thank you. Thanks.
Yes.
You have time to make up, Lisa.
I know. Seriously. Put me to work.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to put you to work. Yes.
Okay. Let's go. I'm wearing my shirt.
You're around all of these amazing NFL moms and you get to know them and you've been a part of this for a long time. Is there a common thread or what's the sort of unifying force? Obviously everybody has a son that they care about and you guys all see the NFL and their careers through the lens of a mother. But what would you say is like the biggest commonality between all the moms that you get to know and work with?
Pretty much we're like-minded, you know, we all, like you said, we all have sons in the NFL. And it, to me personally, it's important for me to meet at least some of the moms that my son plays with and play against. I know when he started out in 20 with the Lions in 2010 with the Lions, my goal in going to the games were to meet some of the other moms. You know, that to me is one of the most important thing to me, is meeting the other families. I have fun doing it.
I love it. I know. No, that's one of the things I've loved more than anything is getting to know the parents and the moms in the NFL. And now we're on a different team. So it's a whole new mom, you know, whole new group of moms and families that we've got to know. And it's like you said, they all just in general, the common theme that I've met, only being on two different teams, but they all just love their sons. Mm-hmm. They love their sons and they want the best for them and they want the best for their teams at the time. So, and it's, but I will say everybody has, every time I meet them, especially especially before a game, there's a nervous feeling. Yes. Everyone's excited and nervous, and we all kind of bond over that. And it's, I don't know, it makes me feel better to see. I remember when I met Brock Purdy's parents for the first time, right after he had gotten the nod to start. And I just got the same feeling. Like they were nervous, but I just gave them a hug. They gave me a hug, and it kind of calmed us all down, knowing, okay, we're in this together. It's going to be okay. It was just a nice feeling to just know there's other families out there that care as much as you do, that are as invested, and you could just hang out and like realize that we're all in this together. It's going to be okay type thing. Yes. So yeah, I like meeting other families as well. So I'm really glad for this organization for starters. Yes. So
well, I always say, I think it's hard to know, like, unless, you know, I guess I should say it's comforting, as you say, Lisa, to be able to look around and know that, because it's a singular experience. There's very few people who experience having their child play on the level that both of your sons play on, and on that stage, and the scrutiny. And obviously it's a dangerous game. So I know there's so much that people from the outside who haven't experienced it probably can't even really fathom what those game days are like. I've talked on this podcast before, and I've told Lisa Bernadette, when I went to a Niners game with her this past season, I was walking in to the stadium and I'm looking around and there are McCaffrey jerseys everywhere.
Yeah.
And I started getting like, I started getting really nervous and like overexcited and like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, and it was the first time that it really hit me in a different way of what even a skosh of that experience might be like for you guys. So to have that community of women and parents in general who are living it with you is, I'm sure, a really important thing. And I love the work that you guys are doing. You guys do a lot of charity work as well, from what I
understand. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And we'll be doing some this summer when we meet too. So every year we do. And scholarships. We give scholarships as well. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, put Lisa to work. Put Lisa to work.
She's I'm ready to work.
A little bit of a mouth on her.
Yes.
She'll talk back every now and then, but when you really need something to come through, she'll
I'm not a leader, but I'm a doer. You know, give me a task.
In fact, I'm going to send you our PR. I'm going to send you our PR person's when we get off. So
fantastic. And I have a question going back to your daughter. Your daughter played soccer at Mississippi State, right?
Correct. Yes.
I love it.
She did.
And how were watching those games compared to watching your son's games?
Much, much more relaxing.
Much more.
I was much, much more relaxed playing, watching her play soccer, or even when my son was playing soccer. Because I know the soccer game so well that, you know, and it's hard to, you know, get really hurt. Compared to football, I mean, those tackles in football, you're piling on top of each other, and it's just so physical. Anyhow, yeah, she played 4 years at Mississippi State, and she played overseas for in Cameroon for 2 years.
Wow.
She was on their national team, from what I read. Is
right. Yes, yeah, she was on the national team, Cameroon national team. So, yes. Fantastic. Yeah, she's a soccer girl. And so was my son too, but he decided to move to football, the real football, or the other football.
The other football. No, the real football is what she played. Yeah, that's to me is a real football. Yeah. I love it. Oh, that's fantastic.
So are you glad you said yes, Bernadette, when he finally wore you down? You said that, you know, kind of once he started playing football, his world opened up. So are you, when you look back on that, are you still happy you said yes to him?
Yes, I am. I am. You know, it's something that his heart desired. And if I had not said yes, I you know, it's hard to figure out what would have happened. But I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. You know, he's done well, you know, and so
he's done really well.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for him and for our family. So, yes.
And he's played 13 years, right?
That's right. He's played 13 seasons, have not missed a game.
My gosh. I was just going to, he's no major. That's a dream.
Yeah.
That's literally a dream career.
Well, I'll say he missed one game when he was with the Lions due to suspension, but we won't go into that. That's
right.
Been a long time.
Not because of an injury. Wow.
It's,
so, I mean, that is amazing.
Unheard of. Yeah.
Yeah, that is unheard of.
Unheard of.
Yeah.
Because you think about what he has to play through and what he has probably had to play through in terms of what these guys are dealing with on any given day. How much longer do you think? Is he got 13 more years in him? How much longer do you think he's going to play?
I think he would think he would say he has 13 more years, but yeah. You know, I think the reason he's last for 13 years is because he really dedicates to taking care of his body. A lot of it I give praise to God for, but he really puts in the effort to taking care of himself, making sure he's available to the team. So I'm proud
That's
of him.
Impressive. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible to play 13 years and not miss a game because of injuries is amazing. Wow.
It's incredible.
Of course.
And now he's a dad. He's got,
he's got twin boys.
And you're a grandma. Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you. He's got twin boys. They're just a doll. Amazing boys. They're just so smart and physical and active, running around, doing all sorts of things. They're fun. They're fun boys.
And what was it like watching him become a dad? Yeah. What was it like?
Seeing your baby boy
become a papa bear.
I think he's very supportive. I mean, he was there during the birthing, in the delivery room. He has been by his wife's side, coming home from the hospital, changing diapers, giving them baths, helping his wife. He's there. He's truly taking on the role as a dad and a husband. So I'm really proud of him for that. I really feel like I've done a really good job in raising him and knowing, you know, understanding what support he needs to give to, has to have to give to his wife. So, you know, whatever the needs are, he's there hand in hand with her.
That's awesome. And he met her in college, correct? His wife?
Correct. Yeah. She was a basketball player at Nebraska. She was there for a year, and that's where they met, I think, in the weight room. You know, so yeah, they've been good friends for years. And in the last 3 years, they decided to throw the ring in and get married. And have kids. Everything was bam, bam, bam.
Wow.
Got married, then have kids, then move in, you know. So yeah, it was one thing after the other. I couldn't keep up.
and what we listened to on the Bloomberg podcast, it sounds like they're in business together too, or they're supportive of each other in business. They have like a whole real estate business that's going on while he's playing. Like my son can't even graduate college. And he's like running a business, playing in the NFL. That's amazing. How does he manage his time?
Yeah, well, he has a partner. He has a business partner. Okay. And, you know,
who actually I know, Brendan Scarlett, right? Who played with, his business partner played at Stanford with Christian, my son. So that, right? Isn't that his partner?
Yeah, well, that's one of them.
Okay.
He's
a great guy.
He's done a lot. My son, I'm just really, really proud of him. He's not waiting for his career to end to start a business. He's from day one, the day he was drafted, he started, using his degree. And I'm just really proud of him. Just recently, he just developed a really nice piece of real estate here in Portland, and with restaurants and a bar and some other things. And I'm just, like I said, really proud that, you know, he's not waiting.
Yes. Oh my gosh. He's going to transition seamlessly. He's going to, when he's done playing, it's going to be easy. You just hear, I love it. And I remember on the podcast, he said, you just got to keep moving and keep moving forward. And it sounds like that's exactly what he's done. So I know, you know, cause I had a husband who played and he retired, and it can be hard at times, but yeah, the best thing to do is keep moving, finding your passion. And it sounds like he has, which is so admirable. I love it. And kind of like you, when you retired, you took up bowling.
Yeah, I took up bowling full time. Yes.
I do think that is the key, though, because there is so much out there, right? And there's a lot of statistics about, and I've seen it, Lisa, you guys know way more firsthand than I do, but retirement and the end of, professional playing careers, no matter what the sport, or even if you've only played up through college, like it's hard because it's been your identity.
Absolutely.
For so long, and that is so who you are. And then all of a sudden it just stops. Mm-hmm. And I think to have something to go towards that you're excited about, that you've already started to build, is amazing. I'm blown away. I think about what it takes to make it in the league, and that he was initially already thinking about what am I going to do with my degree, and from a business standpoint when he started, is amazing. Cause I'm sure it takes every single ounce of concentration to even be able to make it and thrive in this league like he has. So it's amazing. I'm curious about his relationship with his sister, because it sounds like they have a really cool, and remind me of his sister's name, because I don't want to say it wrong.
Gum. It's N-G-U-M, and it's pronounced N-G-U-M. She loves it. They've had a really good relationship. She was his manager when he first started. But now that he's established, you know, he's does most of it, or his wife takes on most of it now. So
when he really started to get big, did that, we talk a lot with moms on this podcast about, you know, what it does, what fame and success does to the siblings and to the family dynamic surrounding, you know, the child that's kind of taking off. And your daughter obviously has had a very successful career and was a big time athlete in her own right. But what was the dynamic, or did you worry about her when everything really started to happen for him? How did she handle it?
Well, I was more so worried about overload, you know, because all these different companies were calling, wanting him to endorse their product. And, you know, to be able to look through to make sure that this is a good product and that it's going to align with his belief and our family values, you know, took a lot of work on her part. You know, it is a lot of work. It's a full-time job when you have a child that's, when you have an athlete that's so well-known and everybody wants a piece of them,
yes,
you know, whether it be for endorsements or appearance or, you know, it's very time consuming, and you really do have to have someone to organize a schedule for them.
And look over contracts, make sure it's legit, make sure you're not getting taken advantage of. Yeah. And who better to do it than a family member that has their best interest at heart. Going back to high school and even before, would you say that you were a strict parent? Like, did you worry about drinking and, you know, normal teenage stuff? Was that a worry for you, or how did you parent?
Well, you know, yes, I did, because a lot of the kids around, you know, in the high school that he went to would, you know, take chances and do those kinds of things. And it doesn't take much for a teenager to, you know, want to try something. So, yes, I made sure I monitored all his moves, you know, talked with him a lot about importance of not getting a big head, you know, by having all these colleges getting in touch with them. Don't feel like, you know, I just really did a lot of talking and making sure that he was, you know, stepping in the right path and doing the right things, keeping his grades up, making sure that, you know, he was following through on what needed to be done, because it doesn't take much for those colleges to say, you know, to take back a scholarship.
Right.
Because it's been given to you doesn't mean that they can't take it away. You know, you still have to have good grades. They look at your transcript as a junior, but if you don't get good grades as a senior, of course,
they'll pull the scholarship. Yeah. Exactly. And even, you know, and in college, it's technically a 1 year, every year is a 1 year scholarship, and they can pull it at any time. So
exactly.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. Right. So I made sure that he knew that, and, you know, and had him stay on the right path. So
when were you most worried about him, Bernadette? This is a question we always ask too. Like, was there a time that you were the most worried about him or your daughter?
When they were in college, because I wasn't seeing them.
Yeah.
But I would check in every 2-3 days, you know, and of course I had an open line where he could call at any time. When I called, if I didn't reach them, I would reach him. I would make sure that he knew that I was just checking in. There was nothing serious. I was just checking to see how things were going. Oh, yeah. I still tried to monitor things while he was away.
Which is hard when he's in college.
It is. Yeah.
It in is. A different state, a different state.
Yes, yeah. Yes, exactly. But I sent him off to college with a certain amount of responsibility, with him knowing that, you know, he still has a responsibility to himself, even though I wasn't, you know, nearby. So he took on that responsibility, and I, you know, Again, like I've said several times, I'm really proud of how well he's done the whole way. So
it's incredible. And listening to him talk, and we'll link to the podcast episode interview that Lisa and I have referenced a few times, because I know he's done a lot of many different interviews, but this one in particular, we were both just so taken by, you know, the way he looks at the world. And he was, you know, that you can tell, and he mentioned many times about how he was brought up and how important that was and formative is to how he views things now. I got to go back to, though, you started off and you mentioned, I think it was Michelle Obama's book, and you said, you know, it was, if there were things that I wish that I had known, or I wish I had read this and I had known them when I was younger. So I have to ask, what are those things that you kind of wish you had known, and would that have impacted that anything that turned out differently for you and your family?
Mainly self-care, taking care of yourself, which I didn't do when I, you know, was married and have kids. You know, I was always taking care of their dad and them, making sure that dinner was cooked, making sure their things were set out for school the next day, or soccer games, or whatever it is that they need. And I didn't take care of myself.
I've got to ask you, I mean, that's such great perspective. And it would be silly of us not to ask you through the lens of someone who had been in, you know, in education for 3.5 decades, and all that you've seen and witnessed. And for all the parents who are listening to this, like, what is the thing? What are the things that parents are doing well? And then what's the one thing that, as you look around in 2023, that parents that were screwing up, that were getting wrong, that you wish that you could like yell into a microphone?
Oh, God. You know, the thing I think most people are getting wrong right now is not supporting their kids, not being there for their kids. Most of their lives is tied up with work. And I know everyone has to work in order to survive, to pay the bills and have a roof over their heads. But, you know, you got to make time for your kids. You can't just have them and let them raise themselves. You got to be there for them. So that's my main thing. I see kids at the park by themselves, out until late, no parent supervision, you know, so just be there for them.
Now, when you say, but then you also talk about self-care. So that's a hard balance. Looking back, if you you wanted to have more self-care, you said, what could you have done different? What do you wish you had done different in that realm?
Well, like I said, having more time to, you know, go to the beauty shop and get my nails done. You know, that's one thing. I never went to the beauty parlor to get my nails done.
Do you do it now?
Yes, I go.
Same thing. Once my kids left, I started getting my nails done. I never did it before. I never had time, or I did every now and then for if we had a minute. But and then all of a sudden they left. So
yes, I didn't do that at all when my kids were home. I would do my own nails. Now I go and I sit for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I might even get a massage if I'm not, you know, just relax. It's a pamper myself. You know, my birthday, when I was raising my kids, my birthday would come and it was just another day, you know. Now I go places, do things, you know, with friends. I mean, I take time for myself now primarily because I'm alone and I have time, but before I didn't. So that makes a difference, you know.
Sonia Curry said the same thing. Steph Curry's mom. She said the exact same thing. Remember, Ashley? And now she's doing just what you're doing. Yeah. She's taking care of herself and self-care. And she said she's found that she missed out on some of the joy while she was raising her kids. She was so serious. Yeah. And she's fun. She's
like is rediscovering herself.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's how she put it. She's like, now that I'm in this phase and she's, you know, no longer married and her kids are grown and she's a grandmother. And she said, I'm having this like new chapter of my life in which I'm rediscovering myself. I'm finding all these things
that I kind of
forgot about myself, like that I do like to have fun and that I am joyful and all of these things. So I guess I guess we could end there because we've kept you way too long. But how would you describe for you this phase of motherhood and this phase of
being a grandmother,
you
know,
your
too.
Journey, both as a mom and a grandma, and you think about where you started and now where you are, like how would you kind of put into words about you know, this phase of your life in this chapter?
Oh, I love where I'm at. You know, knock on wood, I'm healthy. I like to travel. I was traveling a lot before COVID. I'm starting to do a little bit more of it now, now that COVID has diminished. I just love where I'm at. I have plans every day. You know, Mondays I walk, Tuesdays I go bowling, Wednesdays I walk, Thursdays I meet with friends or and do appointments, Fridays I go out with girlfriends. I'm just having the time of my life right now.
I love it.
Just
that makes me so happy.
Yeah, something
just rolling turkeys everything. And having the time of your life. You deserve yeah. it.
Yes, I love it. I just make sure that there's something to do every day, just staying busy yeah. and active.
That's great. That's best news. Yeah. Fantastic.
You're
that makes
amazing.
Me so happy.
And yeah, and I don't know if like, is there such thing as like bowling groupies? Cause Lisa and I think we should come to nationals and like wear like team suits.
I want to wear I look good in bowling clothes. I have to say,
yeah,
I look terrible in golf clothes. Terrible. Yeah, but bowling clothes, I look kind of cute in like, and the shoes, I like that, but I can't bowl, but I will go there and I'll be your number one cheerleader. I'll like wear your logo, whatever it is.
Yeah. You're welcome to come and cheer us on.
Let's go, Ash. Let's go do a podcast and report on them bowling, please.
Yes.
Can we?
That would be great. Yes. That would be wonderful.
Give the listeners what they want.
Exactly.
I'm looking forward to it because I missed the last 2 years of going to nationals. So I'm really looking forward to it this year.
In May.
Yeah, I just got to say, like, thank you for sharing. Your journey is incredible. It's inspiring. Yeah. You've seen so much. You've done so much good, and you're continuing to do. I got to say, by connecting moms in the way that you are, that is, like, I think one of the reasons why we started this podcast, and it is near and dear to both of our hearts. And I'm glad that Lisa is finally going to pull her weight and hopefully start doing some different things. What you guys do is so special.
Well,
thank you.
And thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I enjoyed visiting with you guys. So thank you again. Appreciate it.
We'll do it again. We'll see it. We'll see you for the Bowling Nationals. We'll
yeah. Yes. Yes. For yes. sure. I'll yeah. send you the dates.
Okay. Good. Good.
I'll I want to send you the dates.
For Vedette Sue, the one and
okay,
only. Thank
right.
you so
okay.
much.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, our thanks to Bernadette Sue. She was absolutely amazing. And I have to admit, Lisa, I felt like she was looking into my soul when I asked her what parents were doing wrong. And she said that they're not around and they're not there. And she was, I mean, I know that everybody needs to work, but that was when I was just kind of like, oh,
it was awkward how she stared you down too.
Right.
Like, her eyes got big and was staring right at you, shooting like almost like wanting you to focus like little daggers at you, spend more time with your kids, be there for them.
No,
Ashley, you are an awesome mom. You are killing it. You're doing everything, which is
admirable. But it is. Thank you. No, I do. But it does go back to like the guilt that you feel when you're not around. Right. And then even when you are around, sometimes you're not present. Like there's all, you know, I think there's so many, but she said what I think is at the heart of a lot of the reoccurring themes of the moms that we've talked to, which is really showing up for your kids and them knowing that you're there in whatever right. that looks like and in whatever way you have the capacity to do it is at the end of the day, like the thing that they need the most.
Right. Probably. And it changes with each stage. You know, you're in the younger stage. And then as you get to like later elementary, middle school, your role will change there too. And you support them in different ways. And then high school is a whole new bag of words. When they start driving, that's a whole phase. They're very independent, but even that phase, I'm going to tell moms, you have to be there for them. You have to show up to their games and whenever you can, and it's appropriate, show up. I mean, that you don't have to be the team mom anymore, the be at the school volunteering every day. They don't want that, but they need to know that you love them still at that point, yeah. even if they're little shits, because sometimes teenagers can be a little, you know, kind of annoying, but you still have to be there and love them. You have to, it's the rules as a mom. You have to.
It's just the rules. And what she said about when she worried about her kids the most was when they went to college, which I think is, is normal. You know,
and you have to let go there and keep in touch and
release them.
When you talk to them, emphasize the lessons you had taught them that are really important.
Yeah.
Growing up, and hopefully they'll have heard you, hopefully. And I loved her talking about the way her siblings interacted too. They support each other, which was so nice and so amazing to hear. So
huge. It's huge. And the self-care piece. Okay. Let's underscore that before we sign off, because I haven't heard when we've asked that question at the end to every mom, like, what is one thing that you wish you had done differently? And no one has given that answer. And she was speaking more specifically as it pertained, I think, to her marriage. Yes. But it's huge because when you are only emptying your cup, like you don't, and you're never getting what you need. And whether that is going to get your nails done, getting a massage, making time to go work out, whatever your self-care
looks
like.
Taking a nap. I remember looking back, just being exhausted for years. I would have killed for a nap sometimes. Right.
Just do something because you don't have enough to get. Like you right. It's the only way that you are going to have more in your cup to give, to pour out.
Yeah.
And if it's, your cup is empty, you can't give anything. So that I thought was one of them. That was amazing. And I'm so glad she said that, because of all the interviews we've done, I've never heard. I don't think that's been one of the answers yet. So I absolutely love that.
Right. And then you're a better mom. You know, yep. you almost like you.
Yeah. Cause you're a better version of yourself. It's the same in relationships, you know,
right.
like you can show up as the better version of yourself.
For that before, like if I had gotten sleep, I swear I would have been a 20 times better mom. Just sleep alone. Forget the hair when I'm dealing with little kids and the nails, like I can do without that. You know, I'll do that, did that later on once they grew up. But but I just remember being so tired. Like, sleep. I just crave sleep. Like I remember just praying, like I had Luke in the house, like he'd go take a nap because then I could take a nap. It sounds so silly.
There's a reason sleep deprivation is a form of torture. Like,
yes,
there's,
oh, that's 100%. Now I'm fine. Now I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. And before we go, I just got to say, we talk about bucket lists a lot and checking things off our bucket list. You are going to check something very cool off of your bucket list tomorrow night with your boys. Can we tease that out and then maybe do an episode about it next week?
Fine. Yes. Okay. And I just got there saying, okay, we won't tell anyone we're doing this because I am doing it with the kids.
I won't post it until you do it. How about this? We won't post it.
Okay. That's good. It's so embarrassing. It's so fun. Yeah. I had a bucket list thing and they're all into it too. We're like, okay, yes, we are going to go take an improv class in downtown Denver and we cannot wait. Just me, Christian, Dylan, and Luke. And
that is awesome. Now, whose idea was it?
No, on a whim, I'm like, hey, you guys want to take an improv class? I think it'd be so good for you. Dylan's been going on a ton of interviews. I'm like, it'd be so good for you to do that. It's good for your brain. It's good. And Christian, you do interviews all the time. And Luke, you do too. It'd be so good just for your brain just to try it out. We've never done it. And we just want to do something out of our box. That's
cool.
Not sports. That's not football. That's not competitive for 5 minutes. And just, try an improv class. So stay tuned.
I cannot. Calculate every detail because I want to get the
full. I'm going to try to record some of them.
Yeah, you should. You should. But it's good. It's getting out of your comfort zone. I think it's awesome that you guys are doing it together. And kudos to you for having something on your bucket list and doing it. Like
and doing it. Yes. I'm putting it to work.
I had a good friend that I was talking to when I was in Vegas, and not a stripper. And she was saying that her mom is 85 and that she said, I've always wanted to take her on this trip. Cause I was asking her about her bucket list. She said, I've always wanted to take her to see, I can't remember if it was was it Wimbledon? There's some major, tennis major that she wants to take her to. I'm blanking on which one it was. And I was like, book it or get the tickets or book the flights because you'll never do it. And the window of when you can do it is closing.
Absolutely.
You guys will enjoy it. So if you're listening to this, if you're still listening to this podcast, which is amazing because we've been going on for an hour and a half, then you must really like us. And this is your sign. If there's something that's been on your list, especially if it pertains to someone who you don't have infinite time with, Do it.
Call your mom.
Yes. Call your mom.
Call your
mom. All right. Our thanks to Body Armor, by the way, who got me totally back in sync. After coming back from Vegas, I was like so dehydrated, so dried out.
I saw you and you did not look your best. You look a million times better. Thanks to Body Armor. And sleep. You got to get your sleep. Yeah. No, you look like somebody inflated you in a good way. Like, and now you're glowing.
You always know just the thing to say to make me feel like so good.
Welcome back.
All right. Lisa, I love you.
You're not going to find love in the club.
I'm going to go find love in the club. And please just kick those boys' butts in improv. I know you're going to be the best at it. And I know you guys aren't competitive at all. So I know you won't
We're not competitive. Each other, but. Supposed to be not competitive.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I mean, don't. I mean, be super supportive and show up for them, just as you always have done.
Go. Yeah. It'll be fun. I'll keep you posted.
All right. Cool. Our thanks to Bernadette Sue. We'll be back next week with more from your mom. Your mom does improv in the club.
With clothes on, or let your case know.
Yay!